We are spending a few weeks together considering I Life, in which the I stands for intentional. We're discovering intentional living. You know, too many of us just kind of go through life day by day, just letting our routine dictate to us what we do next, or sometimes perhaps we let the urgency of a request or the urgency of a task to dictate to us when we do it, and we just kind of do what we have to do when we have to do it, and so many times we just kind of float through letting our circumstances guide us. And what we want to do over these weeks is discover how we can intentionally live a more fulfilling life. We can make personal choices in areas like my prayer life, my worship, my work. We're going to talk this morning about I work, how I can have an intentional attitude and an intentional purpose, even about work. In a national survey conducted a few years ago, 180,000 American workers were included in the survey, 180,000 of them. And out of that particular group, in that particular survey, 80% said that they disliked their jobs. 80% of the folks didn't like their job. And I think that's very common. I think that's probably a big part of our current culture and society. It's not something that many of us like, unfortunately. Let me kind of show you what I'm thinking about. Let's start with this. Now, when you see that picture, if you're about my age or younger, you probably thought Gilligan with a funny looking beard. But some of you remember before my time that this is the same actor, Bob Denver, but he played a different character in a different show before Gilligan. He played in The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. He was Maynard G. Krebs. He was the funny sidekick, you know. And you can kind of tell from seeing his picture here that he was one of the first hipsters. Back then, they were called beatniks. He never had new clothes, never had any money. He wanted to hang out all day and just play his bongos. He definitely did not want to work. He reacted every time he heard the word work. I mean, just in regular conversation, somebody would say the word, and he had this just knee-jerk reaction. I really can't copy it, so let me show it to you.
All right. Gee, dope. I want to do my share of the work.
Work!
You're like Mr. Popper.
Dad, we can never thank you enough.
Oh, sure you can. It'll only take you 4 or 5 hours. I figure that the two of you, 50 cents an hour, you can pay me back what Popper cost me before dinner time.
Yeah.
Get to work!
Work!
And I'm a double!
Best start, please. Quiet, Buster, and get to work!
Work!
I think a lot of us kind of feel that way because work has become such a drudgery for so many of us. That's our first reaction. Work! Oh, no, don't say that word. Don't make me think about it. You know why we feel that way most of the time? Is because we have not taken time to consider some challenging questions about the worth of our work. We treat work like we treat so much of the rest of our lives. We just let the circumstances dictate to us what we have to do, when we have to do it, so we can get through it. That's how so many of us live our lives and how so many of us show up for work. I just have to show up, do what I got to do, and get out of here. We need to pause long enough to think about some questions. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to encourage you to think about who you are and what you should do with the rest of your life. If you have a job, these questions that we're going to look at are essential for you. If you are a student, guess what? You have a job. Learning, studying, school is your job. And so these questions are essential. If you're retired, you ask these same questions that we're going to look at about all the ways that you spend your time. I can't tell you how many of you in the room today who are retired have said to me, I'm busier now than I was before I retired. There's a lot happening in your life. You ask these same questions and apply them to where you are, whether you're volunteering, working at home, or whatever it is. By the way, you can follow the questions that we're going to look at in your worship folder, where there's a section there for notes, and we've got you kind of a head start there. To guide us through this as we go, look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 22 as we ask these questions that will help us learn to consider our work as worthwhile, to intentionally live in our work life. Colossians chapter 3, by the way, Colossians is New Testament. You find the big books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Keep going to the right, you find the GEP, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then there's Colossians. All right? Colossians 3 at 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Now, in Paul's time to the people that he's writing, the word slave was accurate, but not quite like you're picturing in colonial America in the South. It wasn't quite the same kind of slavery. These folks managed households quite often. They were often put in charge of a whole Roman family and household. Often they were the ones who were teaching the children of the families. Many times these folks were well educated, and it was their job to teach the children of the families that they worked for. And so we can very quickly learn the principles. Although the word slavery doesn't apply to us, we can very quickly learn the principles that Paul is teaching his people and apply them to our everyday jobs, because that fits very closely to what their experience was. And so he says, in all things, obey those who are your masters on the earth, not with external service, not just showing, not just pretending, not just going through the motions, but he says, you do what the boss tells you to do, and you show up on time, and you do your best. Why? Not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So he continues in 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Chances are Jesus doesn't sign your paycheck, but you can show up for work with the attitude, I am here in this place serving the Lord. He is ultimately my boss. He is the Lord. That puts him above my boss. So when I show up for work, I show up for school, I participate in whatever volunteer work I'm doing as a retiree, I'm going to do it for the Lord. Verse 25, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without penalty. And then look at the next verse, chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. If we can apply the principles when he talks to slaves, we can apply that to folks who are working today. then we can also apply, when he talks to those he calls masters, we can apply that to those of you who are bosses. And the scriptural reminder here is those of you who manage the place, those of you who are the boss, those of you who sign the paychecks, you have a boss also. The Lord is the Lord. And so whether you are the one who receives the paycheck or you're the one who writes the paycheck, either way, you are doing so in service to the Lord. And so we come to our first question. Why do I work? Why do I work? And there's a lot of reasons, right? Some people work for money. I owe, so off to work I go, right? We work for money. Nothing wrong with that because you got to have it. The electric company says you got to pay your bill. You got to have money. You got to put food on the table. Nothing wrong with working for money. That's one valid reason that we work. Another reason that folks work is for opportunity. You know, advancement, ambition, those things drive them. Someone has said the reward for a job well done is a better job. I work so that I can prove myself and move up. And I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. I think that's probably valid just as well. It demonstrates that I'm working hard and I'm earning the life that I'm living. I'm earning to take care of my responsibilities. Nothing wrong with that. Some folks work to gain respect. We work so that people recognize who we are based on our job. You know, you've known folks like that, and I don't know there's anything wrong with that. We kind of define ourselves by what hat we wear. You know, who are you? Oh, well, I'm a lawyer. We kind of work in order to gain the respect of those around us. I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with any of those, except that none of those lasts. Money is eventually going to go away. And if you're working just to move up, you're eventually going to get to a spot where there are no more opportunities. You know, the old principle says that we rise to the level of our own incompetence. We get a new job and that earns us another job and that earns us another job until we reach the one we can't do anymore and then we're stuck. You know? You're eventually going to run out of opportunities. You're not always going to have everybody's respect, and eventually one of these days respect of the people around you isn't going to matter at all. So there's nothing wrong with them except that none of them lasts. We need to wrestle with this very important question then. Why do I work? I was kind of surprised as I started thinking about this and started getting ready for this morning. I did a very quick overview, kind of a survey of Scripture to get a sense of what Scripture said about work. And you'd be surprised how much the Bible has to say about it. It really is throughout Scripture. It talks a lot about work and how we ought to view that. And I noticed a few things. First, I noticed that God is a worker. You know, in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created. And then it said at the end of every day, each of those 6 days, at the end of each day, he would look at the work he had done and he would say, that's good. And then it said on the seventh day that he rested from his labors. God is a worker. And then I noticed that he created us to work with him. Because he created man out of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. And then what did God do? God said, get to work. You're going to manage. You have dominion over this world that I've created. You're going to be my managers. He created us to work with him. Work is valuable. The value of honest, hard work is demonstrated throughout Scripture, especially in the book of Proverbs and the writer of Ecclesiastes. We see over and over and over how important it is for us to take our work seriously as we see our work as a way of serving the Lord. So why do you work? What are you really living for? What's your purpose? I knew a delivery man one time who drove all over taking his product to his customers. While he made delivery, he talked to them. He sat down with them and got to know them. And they caught on pretty quickly that he actually cared about them. And while he is working for his company, delivering the company's product from one house to the next house to the next house, he was also sharing with these people about Jesus Christ. He found that as his opportunity to represent the Lord. He's doing hard work, but he was working for the Lord. Focus real quickly, if you will, on verse 23. Colossians 3 and 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Do what you do for the Lord. That's when we begin to work intentionally. That's one of the biggest parts of living intentionally. If I'm just doing what I'm doing because somebody told me I had to do it, there's no power there. There's nothing meaningful there. But if I'm doing what I'm doing because it's a way that I can serve the Lord, then there's meaning, there's power. And the promise that we read here is that there will be reward for that in the end. So you can work for stuff that's not going to last, or you can work for the ultimate boss who will reward you with lasting inheritance later on. Whatever you do, he says, whatever you do, do for the Lord. You know, I think we've kind of made a mistake in that we have said secular jobs are here and sacred jobs or ministry jobs are here. I think we've made a mistake of saying these folks work and these folks serve the Lord. You see why that's a mistake? For one thing, these folks over here better also be working. For another thing, these folks over here better also be serving the Lord. Scripture doesn't really make a distinction between secular work and ministry. It's all ministry. We're all called to live a life of ministry. Whether you're making deliveries, teaching kids, tending cattle, raising crops, you do it for the Lord. If you're pulling teeth, if you're buying and selling pigs, you're cleaning houses, you're laying pipe, you're putting pills in a bottle, you do it for the Lord. Paul doesn't say that you do the spiritual things for the Lord. He says whatever you do for the Lord. Is your work God's will for your life? Take a minute with that. Because that is actually more important than the paycheck. Is your work God's will for your life at this time? We need to seriously and honestly ask ourselves, why do I work? The second question we need to ask ourselves is, who do I work for? Now, those of you who are grammar nuts, I know it's not grammatically correct, but it's the way we talk, so get over it. Who do I work for? We got to ask ourselves that very important question. Are you working for a boss? Are you working for your spouse? Are you working for your family? Are you working for yourself? Or are you working for the Lord? God is a worker, and he calls us to be co-workers with him, then our work must be for him. Again, our key verse here, verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men. There's only one right answer to this question, who do I work for? The only answer that could be right for us as believers is, I need to be working for the Lord. If I'm not working for the Lord, then something's wrong either in my heart or in my work. Who do I work for? It's been said, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That means overhauling a car or leading a Bible study. They're essentially significant, eternally significant, if they're done in the name of the Lord. You remember Chariots of Fire? Oscar award-winning movie. It's based on the stories of Harold Abrahams and Eric Liddell. Both these guys wanted to win gold medals in the 1924 Olympics. And by the way, they both did win those medals. In the movie, there's one scene where Eric Liddell's sister is upset because she thinks he ought to go back to China where they were raised on the mission field, that he ought to go back and do that mission work in China. And he says to her, Jenny, you've got to understand, I believe God made me for a purpose, for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Contrast that with a scene later in the movie, about an hour before the final race of Harold Abrahams. While his trainer is giving him a rubdown, he says to his best friend, this an hour before his last race, he says, I'm 24 and I've never known contentment. I'm forever in pursuit and I don't even know what it is I'm chasing. I wonder how many folks live life that way. We can be like Eric and know that whatever it is I'm doing for the Lord. Or we can be like Harold. And we can run the race we have to run just because there's another race I have to run. You choose. What kind of life do you want to live? Intentional life with purpose? Or a life dictated to you by circumstances? Paul says, whatever you do, do it heartily as for the Lord and not just for men. The third question we need to ask ourselves is, can I give all of my heart to my work? Paul says, whatever you do, do your work heartily. Can I put my whole heart into my work? If I can't give my work my all, something's wrong with my heart or something's wrong with my work. If I can't give it my best, and I'm thinking maybe I'm in the wrong spot or the wrong time. Colin Powell, you and I know as Secretary of State. Before he was Secretary of State, he learned a valuable lesson about work early in his life. He was working at the Teamsters Hall on soft drink delivery trucks. Powell accepted a job as a porter at a Pepsi bottling plant. Well, he didn't know what a porter actually did. He just got a job. The first day on his new job, he found out what a porter does. This future chairman of the joint chiefs of staff, this future Secretary of State, was given a mop. He was determined, however, that when he found out that a porter meant a person who mops, he was going to be the best mopper he could be. And at the end of that summer job, the foreman watched Powell work during the summer, and at the end of the summer, he complimented him on his hard work and offered him a better job the next summer. Powell could have had a different attitude toward his menial job as a porter, but he was determined to do the best job he could even when he wasn't working at the best job that he wanted. The lesson he learned was, and these are his words, all work is honorable. Always do your best because someone is watching. Whether it's the boss who's watching and might get you a better job, whether it's the ultimate boss, the Lord, is watching. You do your best, knowing that somebody's watching. We may not have the most glorious or the best paying job in the world, but we can still give that job the best we have to offer. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. Show up on time, ready to go, ready, prepared, eager, giving it your all of your energy, ready to work. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Someone, Powell said, is watching. When we serve our employer well, we serve the Lord well. He can use us in our position just like he used Joseph at Potiphar's house, just like he used Daniel as the king's advisor or Nehemiah as the cupbearer to the king. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you are called to be a street sweeper, sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry, sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Why do we work with all our heart, giving our best? Because, like Colin Powell learned, someone is watching. The fourth question we need to ask ourselves about work, is it worth it? Is work worth it? Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men. Why? Because 24, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. As far as God is concerned, a slave's labor in the wheat fields, when done in faithful submission to God, is just as worthy as Paul's preaching at Rome. It's something for which he, too, will receive a reward. As a Christian, you can receive not only a paycheck, but also a promise of heavenly reward for far greater than a salary. For two or three years now, I've been announcing for some of the different sports in the high school. And because of that, I joined a Yahoo group for PA announcers. And a few of us in this group are amateurs who don't really know what we're doing. We're just having fun. But some of them are professionals. And this week, the Yahoo group just exploded. They were talking all over the place about the fact that the Red Sox are hiring a new PA announcer. And what they found out as they started going to tryouts for this thing was they found out that the Red Sox are going to pay $50 a game. And these announcer guys are up in arms. Are you serious? That's all they're going to pay us? It takes hours to announce baseball game because you got to get there hours early. This is a whole lot, and they're only going to pay $50. Well, then some of them started writing in, yeah, but it's not just the salary. I mean, you get the best parking place that's available, you know, that anybody could wish for. They bring you free food while you're there. You get to eat all the time. Look at all the perks and the benefits. And they started saying, you know, that's what makes it worth it. And as I read through this stuff, I thought, my goodness, wouldn't it be worth it just to be known as the Red Sox PA announcer? Wow! I mean, it's not the Rangers, but still, you know, that's something. And so I'm thinking, what makes it worth it? Is it the salary, $50 a game? Is it the good food and the priced parking lot? Or is it the prestige of having the job? What makes it worth it? And you know what I figured out? None of that stuff really makes a job worth it for very long, because all of that stuff can go away. All of that stuff can become cumbersome. But if God called me to be the PA announcer for the Red Sox, which, by the way, he didn't. If God called me to be the PA announcer for the Red Sox, and I showed up and I did my best, I would be making God happy every time I showed up for work. That would make it worth it, regardless of the pay or the benefits or the parking. If you're where God has called you to be, you show up, you do your best, you make him happy, and making him happy makes it all worth it. If you can't do that where you are, there's something wrong with your heart, or there's something wrong with your work, and you need to make some adjustments. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to work, for the privilege of being someone like you, a worker, someone involved, doing, living this life intentionally. Thank you for that privilege. Whether we're talking about an actual job with a paycheck or showing up for school or being involved in different activities during retirement, whatever it is, God, we want to please you. We want to work for you. And we're grateful that you've allowed us the chance to do it. Help us now to make sure that we are living our lives intentionally for you. Help us to make sure that we recognize you as the boss and we're serving you. Lord, if we need to make some change this morning, help us to know what that is, to maybe accept Christ or to come back home to him. Father, let us know what you'd have us to do during this next few minutes in Jesus' name.